Again, it's good to be with you this morning, and there's I know there's a few people that I don't know that well yet, so let me tell you that we're working our way through the book of 1 John. So if you can turn, if you close it up, you might want to turn back to 1 John chapter 2, and hopefully after the service I can get a chance to catch up with you. And we're looking at this passage, and as I was thinking about this opening verse, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I suddenly thought, wow, that seems like the Bible is contradicting itself. Because let me remind you of something else that John wrote. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So is the Bible contradicting itself? Here it is. Here's John saying, do not love the world or anything in it. And then John says, but God so loved the world. Or is John just having one of those senior moments which we've read, whichever passage was the later one, suddenly realised what he'd forgot what he wrote before? We want to say no, don't we? We want to say no, the Bible's not contradicting itself and that John isn't contradicting himself. But why do we want to say no? And why actually can we say no? Well, it all revolves around what it means by loving the world. And thankfully, John explores that, opens that up for us in this passage. Have a look with me at the second verse that we looked at, verse 16. For everything in the world, and then he says, that is, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. John shows us there what he means by do not love the world or anything in the world. And he says, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has or does. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, oh, the cravings of the sinful man, and you're a woman here this morning, and you say, woohoo, I'm off the hook. No, you're not. It's a case of, actually, the original word is flesh. So it's the cravings of the flesh, and that's understood to be the sinful nature of us, male or female. And actually, when we hear that phrase, the flesh, it carries with it a sense of the sexual. But it's more than that. It's the sinful desires and cravings and passions of our sinful nature, of our flesh. Those things that come from deep within, I must have that, I want that, I need that, I am that. This makes me happy. So it's the internal as compared or contrasted with the external, which is the lust of the eyes. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The lust of the eyes. Again, you sort of think, oh, well, that's obviously talking about a sexual issue again, isn't it? Well, it's yes, and more. In fact, the eyes, it's been said, are the windows of the soul. Have you heard that phrase before? The eyes are the windows of the soul. That is, we might think that lust, you know, I lust in my heart or in my mind for something. I desire something in my heart or my mind. But where do I find out about it first? Through what I see. And you could actually add the other senses to that too, particularly also hearing, what I hear. So it's John's saying here, it's the inside and also what's coming from the outside. Those things that I think I must have, those things that I see with my eyes and I say, I need that or I want that. And then finally he says, and also the boasting of what we have or have done. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? We don't need to open that up at all. We all know about boasting. We all know about pride. We all know about materialism. We all know about selfishness. John says, do not love this world, the things that you desire from within, from the sinful nature, the things that you see coming from the outside, again sinful, and also do not continue to boast about what you have done, what you have. Why? Well, he tells us why. The second part of verse 16. He says, for everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And verse 17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Two reasons why we're not to love those things. One, they don't come from the Father, and two, they will pass away. Let's look at the second one first. As part of my role as a minister, I get to go to a lot of funerals. I go to a lot of funerals. And it's very possible to be at a funeral. It would be possible to be at a funeral and to just read the words. To just read the words. We can do it in all sorts of situations, can't we? We heard it when John read the Bible for us. John could have just got up here and just read the words. But I could hear what he believed through the way that he read the words. And the words at a funeral are very powerful. And they always shock me. They always cause me to stop and think. And another thing that actually that causes me to stop and think is when you stand over a 6 foot deep hole with a casket and you say, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. I have no idea how many times I've said those words, and there is nothing more in your face than that situation of saying those words. We came into the world with nothing, naked. And we go out of the world with nothing, although sometimes we often dress our loved ones. But we go out with nothing still either, as well. The things of this world will not last, John says and reminds us. So do not crave them. Do not love the things of this world. They won't last. There's no purpose to them eternally. Which actually got me thinking this morning, what is it that we will do this day that will have eternal benefits? What is it that, you might say, well, that's easy for you, Greg. You're preaching this morning. That's obviously got eternal benefits. Well, yes, but what about you? What about you today? What is it that you will do or say or be involved in today that will have eternal benefits? Because there are so many things that we can do that will pass away. What is it that we will do that won't? There's something to think about and talk about over a cup of tea. Let me give you some examples of some options. Actually serving one another. Or serving others that we know are in need. That's just the beginning. We could go on. The other reason why we're not to love the things of this world is because they don't come from the Father, John says in verse 16. Now I take that to mean that the fact that they don't come from the Father means they're not going to be beneficial for us. And we get that idea from the previous chapter. If you turn back one page with me to chapter 2, verse 9, you see this idea of light and darkness. In verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. But whoever loves his brothers or sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make them stumble. John picks up this idea of imagery. That which is light is good, and that which is dark is not good, bad. And he says, if we hate our brother or sister, that's not good. That's darkness. And that doesn't come from the Father. Because anything that comes from the Father is actually beneficial for us, particularly in a relational situation. See, what is it that Jesus has done for us on the cross? He has restored the relationship again between the Father and us. Whatever comes from God is good. I love, every now and then I catch myself saying, God is good. God is good. But do you realize the implications of that phrase? Wow, God is good. And everything that comes from him is good. And the loves and the desires and the lustful cravings of this world do not bring about good relationship, and therefore they can't be from God. And they don't bring glory to God either. They don't bring glory to God in any possible way. But you might be saying, well, wait a second, Greg. so much in this world that is good. Are you saying that any internal desires that I have are evil and therefore they're of the body and I must, you know, become a monk or a nun, you know, and just kill it off? Or are you saying that everything in the world is bad and evil and therefore I should have nothing to do with it and we should all become Amish? Or are you saying that, you know, I can never be able to say how good something is? You know, I can't ever say to somebody anything that would sound like boasting. No, I'm not saying that at all. There are things that come from deep down inside where God works in us that are great. You can read it later in the bulletin. I've been reflecting upon how something God's been teaching me lately, which is to see the little things sometimes. And I was struck by someone saying a little while ago that God made an animal just to frolic. If you don't believe me, look up the Psalms. I think it's Psalm 102 off the top of my head. He made the Leviathan to frolic in the sea. The whole purpose of the Leviathan is just to frolic. What a great purpose. What a great life. Frolic. And therefore, you know, that there's a desire in me at times to say, you know what, I just want to rest. And God says, yes, that's what I created you for too. Rest. 6 days shall you labor, and on the seventh day shall rest, and so on. So you can see there are things that come from deep down inside that are actually of God. There are also things that come from the outside too that are of God. Let me give you an example, and this is why it's not just the eyes but the ears as well. You hear a beautiful piece of music and you think to yourself, I reckon I've got to get that. That's a beautiful piece of music. That's a wonderful album. So you, if you're old-fashioned, you go down to the record shop and you buy it, and if you're not, you just download it on iTunes. And so you get it. You see, you heard something, God's creativity given to that particular artist or artists, and you desire it. And that's good. And of the boasting, yes, there are right and appropriate times to boast. You get me started on how wonderful my boys are, you'll be here for a while. I think that's right and appropriate boasting. See, it's not... When God says, do not love the world and anything in it, he's not wanting us to be prudish. He's not talking about joyless, you know, critical nature. No, rather... who is getting the glory? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Who's getting the glory? Is it me or is it the Father? Is it me and what I want or is it what the Father wants? For when it's me focused, it will not be good. My old school motto is one of the only bits of Latin I can remember. De tu gloria solo Deo. For those who are not Latin scholars in the room, I'll tell you what it means. All glory to God alone. All glory to God alone. Wow. All glory to God alone. In all things, at all times. John is saying, do not love this world or anything in it, but because if you love this world, then the glory is not going to the Father. Yet there's no love for the Father. Now the problem is, what does that look like? Well, there's no simple answers there, is there? There's no don't do this, don't do that, but do this and do that at this time and at that time with your left hand and your fingers crossed. You know what I mean? There's no simple answers in all this. But rather the principle of do not love this world. Because if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. And actually, the love of the Father is not in you is... That's such a harsh thing to say, isn't it? John says in verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we want to say, oh, wait a second, that's a bit harsh. You know, okay, we all make mistakes. But John's saying, where is the direction? Where is the focus? Where is the glory going to? In fact, a good example of what John's talking about here is the proof of the pudding is in know how good a pudding is? Try it. Or as a nut someone else once said, you shall be known by your fruit. We need to take this seriously too, though. We live in a war zone. Granted, we don't live in Afghanistan, and we don't live in Syria, and we don't live in parts of the world where my heart bleeds for those places. But we live in a war zone. We live in a world where we have an enemy. And the enemy, Satan himself, would love nothing more than for us, as followers of Jesus, to fall in love with this world and all that it has to offer. But this world is treacherous. It's treacherous. It's sneaky. And it really is, because it's like the old saying, how do you cook a frog? You put it in cold water and turn the heat up. And bit by bit, it doesn't even notice. And as followers of Jesus, there are times when we need to be careful, because we live in a world where we have an enemy who would love nothing more than for us, bit by bit, to fall for the treachery of this world and to be drawn away from the Father. And that's why it's good and appropriate for us to take stock at times, stop, and to read our scriptures and to ask God that really dangerous question, Lord, search me and know me and show me. Is there anything in me? That's a dangerous question to ask God. It's a good question to ask God. At the start, I compared two writings of John. 1 John 2:15, John 3:16. To show the seriousness of what it means for us as followers of Jesus to be aware of whether we are following and loving this world, we see the seriousness of God's love for this world. See, when it says God so loved the world, he's not talking about all the stuff we talked about this morning. He's talking about us. And it was so serious, this world that we live in and the treachery and the sneakiness of it and of our enemy, that he sent his only son. If it's that serious, it's serious for us to pay attention. My dear friends, let us not love this world or anything in it, but rather let us love our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Give all glory to the Father alone, and do so in the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song which is probably very appropriate for us to ask, who can stand in the presence of the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you bring us timely reminders that we should not be falling for the treachery or the sneakiness of this world. For to do so, Lord, means that we have no love for you. Lord, I pray that as each of us here this morning takes stock of what you have said to us, as your Spirit has moved in our hearts and minds, may you indeed, Lord, search us, know us, and show us if there's anything that we need to deal with. Lord, this we ask in the name of Jesus and for your glory alone.